Christ our Savior, in the Gospel of St. Matthew, hearing the confession of Simon Peter, who, first of all other, openly acknowledged him to be the Son of God, and perceiving the secret hand of his Father therein, called him, alluding to his name, a rock, upon which rock he would build his church so strong that the gates of hell should not prevail against it.
In which words, three things are to be noted. First, that Christ will have a church in this world. Secondly, that the same church should mightily be impugned not only by the world, but also by the uttermost strength and powers of all hell. And thirdly, that the same church, notwithstanding the utmost of the devil and all his malice, should continue.
Which prophecy of Christ we see wonderfully to be verified, insomuch that the whole course of the church to this day may seem nothing else but a verifying of the said prophecy.
First, that Christ has set up a church needeth no declaration. Secondly, what force of princes, kings, monarchs, governors, and rulers of this world, with their subjects publicly and privately, with all their strength and cunning, have bent themselves against this church?
And thirdly, how the said church, all this notwithstanding, hath yet endured and holden its own. But storms and tempest it hath overpassed, wondrous it is to behold. For the more evident declaration whereof, I have addressed this present history to the end, first, that the wonderful works of God in his church might appear to his glory.
Also that the continuance and proceedings of the church from time to time being set forth, more knowledge and experience may rebound thereby to the profit of the reader and edification of Christian faith. So, welcome. This is our first episode.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like for most podcasts and shows and stuff, they have a theme song. Something that kind of, like, lets people know, like, what's happening and, like, brings it in.
Yeah.
And we don't have that.
No, but I think that we should play around with it.
Yeah, I think we need to get one.
Yeah?
So, we should work on that. I don't see why we shouldn't do it right now.
I think we should try it right now. Ready? All right. So, we're developing a theme song. You ready for it?
Let's go. Let's see what we have.
Let's come into it and see if we have
something.
If we have something, let's develop it as we go.
Yeah.
This is what we'll do the first try. So like a 4-1, little minor.
Yeah. Take us out of the campfire.
Yeah. More movement.
Or as
Martyr's
Row, probably into the campfire.
Oh yeah, true. So we'll have to have a lot of discussions about like lyric content. And then should we add, maybe we could add verses later on?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Not that chord.
Have like a 3-minute theme song.
I mean, why not?
I think it'd be fun. And we're here for
it. Yeah, over the next couple episodes. Or it could be something that like, it just, I don't know.
Until we find something we land on.
To be honest though, this like, this may or may not fit this well.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, so I'm thinking about it as you're playing it. It's like, I don't know if I'm hearing like a harmonica or like an accordion or something.
Okay.
Maybe it is an organ.
Actually, saying accordion, I feel like that really resonates.
It's like right there. Yeah.
It really does. It's something about the feel of this guitar.
Yeah. And then I want some like low cellos coming through.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really nice.
Okay.
Maybe like a viola. Do some of those mids.
Yeah. All right, let's try some lyrics.
Yeah.
I'll try and follow this progression a little bit. Something like this. A martyr's row, talking about a martyr's row with Stephen and Paul. We got to resolve it back to that minor here. And then
resolve.
That's what we do here. Yeah. We start on the four. We start on the four and we resolve to the minor.
That's so good.
I'm here for it. We gotta bring them along.
So Martyrs Row, we're talking about Martyrs Row with Stephen and Paul. Won't you come along?
Yeah.
Martyrs Row, talking about Martyrs Row with Stephen and Paul. Won't you come along?
Yeah, we'll keep doing that. That's should a hard harmony find.
Should we find out whose name comes first?
We should. Yeah. Actually, honestly, we don't have to. You know why?
Because of the rhyme?
Because the order.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. And no, I think I owe you one.
We'll talk to you. We'll get into that, too.
Yeah, we will.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot to talk about here. So let's try it again. Maybe
so
just
why don't
sing
you guys
the octave.
Come along.
You just sing the octave?
Yeah.
Talking about Martyrs Row.
Yeah.
That's a harmony there.
Come along.
Yeah. Or you can sing the melody, I'll mess with the harmony. Yeah, I like your voice better on the harmony. You want me to do it?
Just because I'm terrible at harmony. I can find it.
Okay, you do the low part.
Row, talking about Martyrs Row with Stephen and Paul. Won't you come along? Martyrs Row, we're talking about Martyrs Row with Stephen and Paul. Won't you come along? Come on.
We just keep walking it up.
Won't you come along?
Martyrs Row, episode one, take one. Thank you very much.
All right, so let's explain. Are you ready to explain, Paul?
Yes.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, Steven.
Hey.
I think it's worth telling everybody watching or listening to this why your name needs to come first.
Okay, so Martyrs Row with Stephen and Paul.
Yes.
That's kind of the official title.
That's our title, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's actually easy, and we'll probably get into it a lot more next week.
Yeah.
But, or on the next episode, whether that's next week or 3 years from now.
Never.
Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Let's go.
But that was initially, and I actually hadn't thought about this, but initially, you asked me a question out of left field.
That's
one
right.
time when we were talking, and Paul goes, "You said I want to say how you said. You said I have a question for you. Is it weird as a Stephen talking to a Paul?" and I thought, that's the most like dad joke, like theology dense question that like if you'd have, there's very few people that would be like, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it was funny because on the episode, I can watch you figure it out.
Well, but there
you can see it like in your eyes. You're like, oh.
Well, because and the reason why that's like so dense is because you can lead into that conversation,
yeah,
and then bring that up. But I think I didn't
lead into it.
Like we might have been talking about like Snickers or something. Yeah. So it was like, what are we even talking about?
What the?
My name's Stephen. This is Paul.
My name's Paul.
And the weird thing about that is biblically, Paul, originally Saul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saul persecuted. He was one of the
basically like led the charge on.
He was like legendary.
Yeah.
For persecuting Christians.
Yeah.
And Paul actually ordered the stoning of Stephen.
Yeah.
Who was the first martyr in Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Yeah. Which is what we read from to start this episode out.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's we read from that, and so that's actually why. So like,
yeah.
So Stephen's the first martyr. So that's why my name comes first.
Yep.
Right. And then there's redemption in it because Saul becomes Paul when he meets with Jesus.
Yeah.
And eventually Paul also gets martyred.
Which I think is kind of like a beautiful, like, underlying arc in his, in the story of the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
Where, like, he starts off as this person who is so zealous for the Jewish faith.
Yeah, for the law.
Yeah. Yeah, for the law, to the point where he's ordering the death of Christians.
Right.
And then he ends up converting, becoming just as passionate about Christianity, and dies for the same faith that he was persecuting in the beginning of his story.
Yeah, if there's one thing we can say about Saul, who becomes Paul, whatever he was doing, he was going to be passionate about it.
Yeah, he was.
And actually, you know what, Paul? I love that about you.
Yeah,
you know?
Me too.
You know? Oh, I guess I can say it to you. Yeah,
yeah. I'll there. Send it up for us. Pauls all unite.
I'm not. We're not Catholic.
No.
Shout out to all you Catholics.
Bless up.
Yeah. but yeah. So Martyrs Row with Stephen and Paul.
Yeah.
So Stephen comes first because he's the first martyr.
Yeah.
And we read you and in, we initially read to start this episode from the
the preface of.
Yeah, yeah, Fox's Book of Martyrs, which, yeah, you want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Fox's Book of Martyrs, a guy named John Fox, he actually, would he be considered an historian in some ways?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's how he's considered, but he basically documented and connected all of these martyrs, who they were, their stories, and how they were martyred, and puts it into a book for us to read.
Yeah, and maybe it's important to say, like, I think that there's some language that has been passed down only in yeah. certain conversations.
Yeah.
And I think it's important as Christians to keep some of those key words and language
yeah.
and keep translating those and using the breadth of what those words actually mean.
Yeah.
So, like, we don't really talk about martyrs very often.
True.
And I think when you hear about martyrs nowadays, it's not in the Christian faith.
It's more of like a euphemism now.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's a
good
point.
And it's more like stop being a martyr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and a lot of times it's seen as like they're doing something bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because in a lot of modern eras, and depending on what your faith background is, a lot of them are doing something. Like for me, I would look and say, well, you yeah. shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and those people that have martyred themselves or put themselves in that position, you know, someone taught them and they, like Paul.
Yeah.
Or Saul, were going full after with full zeal and became a martyr for their faith.
Can I actually, I want to start this off strong. Can I say something that's potentially wrong?
I love that. Yeah.
Or at the very least, it'll get people Google searching very quickly.
Yeah, because that's what this podcast is going to be.
Because I want this to be, we both want this to be something where we can, let's dive deeper. Let's help this dig very deep into like these topics and stuff.
Yeah, and ask the questions that are potentially not okay to ask, but you have to find the right context for them.
Yeah.
So we want this podcast to be the right context for questions that you wouldn't necessarily ask
absolutely
in a church lobby.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like right after service.
Right.
And especially with those that you wouldn't necessarily ask during service. Just
yes,
shouting
true.
Out, Pastor, I have a question.
Question. Okay. Maybe some churches do that. I don't know.
I think a lot of churches do that.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen one that does that. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I got to go travel more. But no, so here's the thing that I've been thinking about leading up to this episode. And one of them is when we look at the word martyr. So it is almost like almost direct transliteration from the Greek, which I don't remember what that is off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But essentially it means believing in something so strongly to the point of death. It's like, that's where I'm basically dying on this hill.
Yeah.
Or literally dying on this hill
right.
in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
But what I think is very interesting about it is that it is, and this is the thing that's going to send people searching.
Okay.
And I'm saying this from all of my current knowledge. I believe martyrdom only exists within Christianity, because I can't think of another religion or another group that has been put to death simply because they believe something. Now, there are other situations where you can be like, oh, well, what about like the Chinese government going after Buddhist Indians or something? And it's like, well, yeah, they might say that was part of it, but there's also a lot of governmental issues involved in that. And people weren't being like, will you deny Buddha? Boom.
I see what you're saying. Because it's specific to the spiritual
It's like that's something
faith.
That's, yeah, it's unique only to Christianity.
Okay. Yeah, honestly, hadn't thought about that. Because we kind of reference it in, like, I think having grown up in the era that I grew up in, I think one of the, like, modern martyrs were almost not being put to death, but dying for their faith. So in the sense that, like, you know, I mean, someone being put to death for their faith is dying for their faith.
Yeah.
But somebody who is who is getting in an airplane by themselves for the sake of their, you know, their belief, like, that, that's a whole different thing in my mind. But I think I think the word martyr is still used in that context.
Yeah.
And to what you're saying, I think it's improper use of martyrdom.
Yeah.
Which I would agree with you.
Yeah.
But I think. But at the same time, like, you know, and I think it's important to say, and probably something that we'll say a lot, or maybe I'll say a lot, is that, like, I'm wrong all the time.
Yeah.
And so, like, the knowledge that I have is the knowledge that I have, and I don't have more than that. But, like, I hope to gain more as I go, and I hope that that brings humility as I get older.
Yeah.
So, like, anything that's stated, I think we're going to be careful to, like, not make statements even. Just, like, how you presented that is, like, I think this, and it's potentially controversial. That's how we want to have these conversations. Because I think that's the only way to have the conversation.
You need to be comfortable to say the things that you don't think you should say.
Yeah, because it's like it's exactly the same thing as your mom saying, "Don't look in that closet," right before Christmas time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, well, all I can think about is what's in that closet.
That's all I care about now.
The fact is like, in life, sometimes there's literally nothing in the closet.
Yeah.
And now you've turned your whole life and all of your focus to trying to figure out what's in that closet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the truth is it would have been better for somebody to just go, hey, let's just open the door. Let's look in the closet for a second.
Yeah.
And figure out, like, okay, there's a package in a bag.
Yeah.
Okay, well, at least I know there's not, like, an elephant in there or, like, nothing at all. It's like we have to be willing to, like, crack the door a little bit and have a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's knowing how far to crack that door sometimes. Some things I think we have to just blow the door off the hinges.
For sure.
But other things it's like, hey, that's dangerous. Like, I think I'm just going to throw this out as an example, but even, like, the idea of, like, magic.
Sure.
Which is a big conversation.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that scripture is very clear about. It's like, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
But it is important, I think, to some level for us to go, like, look, okay, don't go back.
Yeah, sure.
And I think other topics that might be that are lesser than that, it's like, it's the same thing. Like, look, that's not helpful. Don't even bother.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, discerning the spirits a little bit too.
Yeah, kind absolutely.
Of blends into that. Because it is that type of thing. It's like, don't walk into a space and go, hey, spiritually, I'm fully open.
Yeah.
I want to experience this. Don't do that with anything.
You
don't even do that walking into a church.
Absolutely.
Because in reality, you don't know what you're walking into.
Yeah.
And you should have some guard there And I believe that that's where, like, the witness of the Holy Spirit can soften your heart.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the purpose of the softening of the heart is to kind of go ease you in, right?
Yeah.
Ease you into that process of finding salvation and all of those things. Mm. And, you know, and that can all happen in an instant, for sure. I believe
can.
That.
Yeah.
But it still should be something where you're not just walking into places like, fully
I'm
open.
Ready. Yeah. Yeah.
But context. Mm. So I think this podcast is going to be a context where we do talk about the questions that you wouldn't normally talk about.
Yeah.
To see, is this something that's actually as small as it sounds?
Mm.
Or is it something that should be more central to our conversation?
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's why we went with this.
So we're doing this.
Because martyrdom. Like when we talk about martyrs, like Martyrs Row, I think that's one of the things that we don't necessarily talk about too much. But I think it really leads into this question, I think. But like really, martyrdom is something that we don't just regularly talk about and we don't think about or remember. And I think some of that has to do with the evangelical or the Catholic, the Catholic break off, and like how we, if you're not Catholic, you're afraid that you're going to be worshiping a saint versus worshiping Jesus and what, like in thinking about or remembering or, you know what I mean? Mm. Like that there's a line there. Yeah. So we just don't even remember at all the
That's
people
that
came
break
before us.
With like religion versus relationship, which I hate that phrase.
Yeah.
And it's like, it cringes me out just to say it.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, it's both. Both things are beautiful, but in their rightful place.
For sure.
But yeah, I think with the Protestant movement, as it's gone, it's like we've gotten so afraid of tradition that anything that appears Catholic.
Yeah.
Is like, that's idolatry. It's what some people might go as far as to say.
Yeah, because if you go to remembrance, the first thing that pops into my mind is communion.
Right.
Well, we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross.
Yeah.
And that's true. But also, a good way to do that and a good way to stand on the words of Paul and live out a life of perseverance and walking in that, remembering those who did that already.
Yeah.
Because Jesus did that. Yes, he did. He died on the cross for our sins. And that's why we take communion. We do it in remembrance of him. But we should also reference and be reminded of those who came before us.
Yeah.
And gave their lives, they didn't give their lives for us.
Right.
And maybe that's the distinction. But they didn't give their lives for us.
Mm-hmm.
Their lives were taken from them because of what they believed.
Yeah.
So they didn't give their lives. A martyr doesn't give their life.
Right.
Except to Jesus.
Yeah.
But they're not dying because Jesus asked them to die.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They're dying because who they believe and their unwavering choice to not bow to other gods caused the other gods to put them to death.
Yeah.
And so you die for the sake of the one true God that you believe is the one true God.
Yeah.
And that's martyrdom.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I feel like that kind of steps us into the thought or the question for this podcast. For this episode.
Which I feel like is a strong one to start it off with.
It is.
So the question that I've been thinking about a lot lately, especially as we've been talking about starting this podcast, and then asked you that the same question last night.
Oh yeah.
Which is, I'll frame it this way: is like, why are we not excited for the return of the Lord?
Yeah, ask that one more time.
In the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the question is, why are we not excited for the return of the Lord?
Yeah, it's not like normally there would be no reason to do that because somebody could just skip back 15 seconds.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a complex question.
And also, it seems like it's simple up front.
Yeah.
And it's funny, so I've asked other people this, or I've mentioned it before, and it's funny because it always spurns off of, someone will say something like, oh, that'll make the Lord return faster if X, Y, Z happens. And I go, awesome.
Yeah.
Or it's like, I'm ready for the Lord to return tonight, which I've said a lot of times.
Yeah.
It's like, if he came right now, this no one heard this episode, like, that'd be sweet.
It would be.
Because I'd be in heaven then with the Lord.
Yeah.
But we say that, and we're like, oh, I'm excited for the Lord to return. But when I say that, the response typically has been, well, yeah, so, like, but I want to get married first.
Yeah.
Or I want to, like, have kids first. Or I want to blah, blah, blah first. And it's like, so why are you not excited? Why are you more excited for some, like, something fleshly? Which is not bad. Like, that's the other thing. It's like,
yeah.
Wanting those things isn't wrong.
Right.
But why do you want them more than to be reunited with the Lord?
Yeah. I think the simple answer is because we spend more time in our fleshly body.
Yeah.
And with our focus on what our fleshly body desires than keeping our mind on the Lord and spiritual things.
Yeah.
And like, even when you ask the question, there's part of me that cringes. You know what I mean? But then my theological brain goes, no. And my like my heart says, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, like, yeah, we should want the Lord to return.
Yeah.
But there is a little bit of like fleshly fear.
You're like,
Yeah. Because really what you're saying is like, what if we died now?
Yeah, essentially. But I mean, not essentially, exactly.
Yeah, but in some ways, we're not necessarily dying if he returns, but we kind of are because we have to.
As far as like our time in this body on earth is gone.
Yeah.
It's over now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like as you say that and as we're like getting into this, I think about changing grades. So like when you're like, I remember for me, going from like eighth grade to ninth grade, I went from a school that I was in eighth grade and I was there from kindergarten. And then I graduated and I was excited. And then I got real sad.
'Cause like that time of your life is done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've never lived the next part.
Oh, yeah.
So in some ways I've always thought about it like today is the end, like every moment today is the end of the life I've lived.
Yeah.
It's not the end of my life, but it's it's the end of the life I've lived.
Yeah.
So we're constantly right on the edge of something we've never experienced.
Yeah, that's a cool way to think about
that.
We're
always right on the edge of the next thing.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe there's some distraction where, and I think that's why nostalgia maybe is such a big thing, is because we want to
remember the comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's living in the place you know.
Yeah.
That's why I like.
That's interesting. Yeah. My mind even went a different direction too. This is what, as I was thinking about this, which I do agree, I think that is a huge part of what's happening. My mind was going through, I was reading through Amos.
Okay.
Which is a fun minor prophet to go through.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's only 9 chapters.
And he's not that famous.
No. Famous Amos. That's good.
I was trying to sneak that in.
That was so good. Sorry. It took me a minute. I was like, oh, wait, that's what you just said.
At least 10 people rolled their eyes.
It's so true.
And honestly, you should have.
And you're the dad, so you need to make the dad joke.
That's true. Sometimes I feel like you're more of a dad than I am.
I'm ready. Yeah.
But just to justify all of those that rolled their eyes when I said that, I rolled my eyes as I was saying it.
I think everyone does when you say a dad joke.
Like, yeah.
No one enjoys them.
I mean, I don't know. I guess they enjoy them as much as like, I don't
digging
have anything
a hole
for that.
In the backyard.
Digging holes is really hard.
Actually, not in Florida.
What do you mean?
It's like,
it depends on where you dig.
It's just, that's true. I'm used to, in Ohio growing up, where it's just clay.
Okay.
So it's like you're digging through just hard clay that just breaks and destroys your shovel.
Yeah, but depending on where you are, it's clay.
That's true.
Because of like all the phosphate mining and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's, I forgot about that stuff.
But some spots are pretty soft.
Most times it's just like, oh, it's sand.
It's mushy swamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's water three inches below.
But that makes it even harder.
Yeah, it's good.
Because then it just keeps filling in with water.
Okay, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different kind of difficulty.
That's true. So what were you thinking about when we were talking about
that? Amos 5, 18 through 27. I'll read it here real quick.
Okay.
So the title for this section is called Let Justice Roll Down. And so it says, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Strong start.
Yeah.
Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. As if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melodies of your harps, I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Did you bring to me sacrifices and offerings during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You shall take up your sicketh, your king, and Cain, I think that's it, your star god, your images that you have made for yourselves, and I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. And so, for some context to that, which I think he calls him out pretty clearly there, is here are these people that are excited for the Lord to return because their enemies will be vanquished. They will be venerated.
Right.
But they're not, they don't love the Lord, is what he's saying. He's like, you're doing these things out of maybe tradition or out of repetition.
Yeah.
But your heart is not set on the Lord. So when the day of the Lord comes, you won't be rejoicing. And I wonder for myself, which is where this came out of when I heard this passage, was, is that me?
Like, sure.
And it's like, okay, like, do I actually love the Lord? Like, am I, going to church is good, but why do I go?
Right.
Praying is good, but why do I pray?
Right.
And it's like, do I do this because I think this is what I have to do to get, to be reunited with him? Or do I do it because I love him and I want to do these things?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would think of, I think of what some people would call contradictory statements in the New Testament when Jesus is speaking, and you know, he essentially says, "I'm coming with the sword." The sword.
Sword.
I'm coming with the sword. I needed that W in there.
That's good.
But I'm coming with a sword.
We should start pronouncing all letters.
Yeah. To divide. You know what I mean? And then you even see, like, and I'll jump to this just to not bring it out too much, but then you see like the instances where he casts demons out and they say, "Wait, why are you here?"
Yeah.
And they're afraid. And they're afraid in a way that we should be.
Yeah.
And it's that the conversation of like the fear of the Lord, of the idea of like the actions of like, you will do all these things. You'll even cast out demons in my name.
Yeah.
But I'll say I never knew you.
Which is wild.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
And the thing is like the returning of the Lord is a joyous occasion with trumpets sounding.
Yeah.
But for those who are not close to him, it is a terrifying moment.
Yeah.
And we know that very easily by those who are already damned to judgment.
Yeah.
And we see what their response is. Mm. And that should awaken in us a fear of the Lord to say, when he returns, I don't want that.
I don't want to be there.
No.
Yeah.
So then that is that, like, I've been thinking a lot about, like, where your treasure is, your heart is also. And I was thinking about just like, man, just even the simple of like looking at finances over a month and going like, where is my money actually going? Like where like not like I don't know where my money's gone. You know what I mean? Like I'm not like
beginning like the nitty gritty of like what happened this month. Yeah.
Or even like looking at like ratios. Like look at like, all right, this amount of money went to this thing, this amount of money went to this thing, this amount of money was you know, this piggy went to the market, this piggy went to this but it's that thing of like where this actually shows me on paper where my focus is.
Yeah.
It actually shows me on paper where my heart is.
Yeah.
And not to be like, so you have to like, everything has to be for, and but the thing is like in the same way, it's like, but we should, that shouldn't sound like that to us.
Right.
When someone is like, hey, you, everything, you know, every, always keep your mind on the Lord, wake up and pray and do it. That shouldn't sound like, like boomers. It shouldn't be like, what do you guys like, you know, when I get older and retire, when I stop doing the, you know, I'll spend more time doing it. You won't.
Yeah.
And the problem is your heart will be, our hearts will be so far from the Lord that of course we won't.
We won't desire that.
Yeah. We won't desire that because the Lord gives us the desires of our hearts.
Yeah.
But the desires of our hearts are actually His desires for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be used for Him. Mm. So even though it's, He's giving us the desires of our hearts.
Yeah.
They're not our desires. Yeah. They're His.
Yeah.
So we even take stuff like that and turn it towards the Lord's going to bless me how I want Him to.
Right.
Not true.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's so prevalent in, I love this example of just looking at Jesus's ministry. It's like, how did Jesus heal blind people?
Yeah, yeah.
However He chose to heal them.
Yeah, yeah.
How did He heal sick people? However He chose to do it.
Right.
And I think we talked about this on an episode in the other podcast.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's not, the life of a Christian is not prescriptive.
Sure. Yes.
The things that God asks us to do are not prescriptive. Like, oh, if you walk and pray, then you'll be more holy than the guy who sits and prays. It's like, well, not true.
Yeah.
But for the guy who God tells him to walk and pray and he sits and prays, well, he's not doing what God's wanting him to do.
Right.
What he's doing is still good. He's still praying.
Yeah.
But there's a posture that you think you're better off sitting maybe.
Right.
Or it's like you were disobedient in this moment.
Yeah.
In the same way we see Moses when God says, you know, strike the rock and the water comes out. And then later they say, okay, we want more water.
Yeah.
And God says, okay, do this instead.
Right.
And Moses is like, well, I'm going to strike the rock.
Yeah.
Like the intent was still to satisfy the thirst of the people.
Right.
But that's not what God told him to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's a perfect example of listen to God now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not, He's not giving you something for you to stop having a relationship with Him.
Right.
And maybe that's the reason, like maybe that's the reason why it's always different. Like the miracles always happen in different ways. And it shows up that way because it is that.
Yeah.
How arrogant of us to say, hey, God, give me a miracle.
Yeah.
And then God does that in His infinite grace. And we experience this miracle and then we treat it like a formula.
Yeah. Yeah.
How ignorant of us, but also how wildly selfish of us and completely not the point of the first miracle.
Right.
The point of the first miracle was, I'm your Father. I love you. You've been obedient to my commands. Mm-hmm. I want to bless you and I want to see you flourish and have good things.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to do that outside of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the other side of it is like God is a jealous God and not in a way that's like other things. God's not a jealous God because there are other things that compete for His greatness. But there are other things that compete for our hearts, which cause us to move away from His greatness.
Yeah.
So I think that He's more sad.
I agree.
Than going, well, if they want to hang out over there, then good for them.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. That guy's not cool anyways.
I didn't want you over here anyway.
Yeah. Like, what? Well, what? And he's like turned into, you know, God's like
insecure.
He's turned into the cherubim and he's like, dude, he's like, the cherubim's like, not this again.
Did you see what he was wearing?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what shoes should I get? I mean, what's the, oh, come on, cherubim, cherubim 573. What is,
he stopped naming him. He's like, just get a number system now. It's like prison.
But it's like, yeah, it's not like that. Like, we think about that because we want everything to be so dualistic.
Yeah.
We want everything to be like, okay, this great thing happened because I did this.
Mm.
No, it's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
Like, I've never gotten better at anything because I did it once.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the repetition of it, and it's the adjustment.
Yeah.
It's like if I start out and I do 10 push-ups a day, at some point I'm going to flatten out.
Right.
And 10 push-ups is not going to do anything for me.
Yeah.
And I might actually decline.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm still doing 10 push-ups a day.
Yeah.
It's like I have to then add to 20 and then
exactly.
to 30.
Yeah.
And there's not a threshold.
Mm-mm.
Like, I have to keep going up. And eventually I have to be doing 1,000 push-ups a day or doing something else.
Something that's more difficult inherently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's like getting into the suffering, the gain of suffering as a Christian.
Yeah.
Where it is that building of perseverance. And we always talk about suffering, I feel like, as a Christian from like a, why is God so needy? You know what I mean? Why does he need this?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't need me to do it. He doesn't. But it's the only way that we can receive the blessing and eternal life with him.
Yeah.
We have to, our life has to produce good fruit in order to bear witness to our sanctification. And maybe that's the best way to put it. Like, the fruit is not to tell everybody else, like, hey, I got saved. The fruit is for the sake of other people, and also a testament to active sanctification, which is the process of getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
It's adding workouts. It's, you know, it's not plateauing. It's continuing to move forward.
And that's the beauty of especially these martyrs. That's what's so beautiful about their lives and their testimonies, which is their witness, their martyr, is they believed in this so strongly that they were willing to be put to death because of this belief.
Right.
And it's like, that's a lot of push-ups.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, and so for us to look at their witness, their testimony of Christ, is like, that's so powerful for us. And it's like, I think we can be faithful in the lesser things.
Yes.
When they've been faithful in the greatest thing, giving up their own life.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes, like, and to be like, to jump back to a like very human thing, because I feel like that's what I want like this podcast to be, is like, for me, I'm kind of like, man, I'm just going to say what maybe you haven't thought of yet. And maybe my mind is a little bit weird. But for me, I'm like, man, honestly, this whole thing would have been easier if I could have been martyred when I was 20.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's probably a really taboo thing to say.
Probably.
But the fact is like that actually, like the last however many years from that point, it's like I wouldn't have had to persevere all that time.
Yeah.
I look back and I'm like,
it's true.
It actually would have been cool to be like martyred back then. But the thing is like, it's obviously not.
Yeah.
And there's such an opportunity to live and flourish and see God's creation and experience that and grow in a richer and deeper relationship with Jesus in the process of being able to reach and find other people to make disciples for him as well.
And that actually, I believe it's 2 Peter 3:15 that talks about the delay of the Lord is salvation.
Yeah.
The fact that the Lord takes so long to return is salvation for us to get it right.
Yeah, it's the greatest showing of grace.
Yeah. And second is for those that don't believe that they can have the opportunity to come to the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, and even as, you know, as a Romans 1, that our faith, or that the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus is a stumbling block.
Mm.
to the Jews.
Yeah.
And nonsense to the Greeks.
Yeah.
Like that concept is one of those things where our life, if our life is speaking the gospel of Jesus, then our life should be a stumbling block to the Jews.
Yeah.
Our life should be nonsense to the non-believer. It should be.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing of like the parable of it feels weird saying this, but parable of the 10 virgins, is that? And they're waiting with oil in their lamps.
Oh, yeah. For the bridegroom to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like some of them just didn't think he was going to come.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just thought, well, when he comes, maybe he can just help me.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we think that because salvation is so freely given.
Yeah.
And when at the beginning of our relationship with Jesus, there's this freedom that's so, it's like the grace of God just pours it out on you right away. And you get that taste of it. And you're like, yeah, it feels good to go for a run. It does.
Yeah.
It feels good the next day.
Yeah.
It's, you're sore, but you feel better.
Feels great.
Like,
yeah.
You've had endorphins and you've had chemicals running through your body that you haven't had running through your body in a while. And it feels great. And that's what salvation feels like.
Yeah.
At that moment.
Yeah.
But then that wears off and you got to run again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the sanctification process of going. So yeah, I mean, I think going back to that question, will you pull up that passage, Hebrews 10?
Yeah, I got you.
Hebrews 10, 36, I think. And just read what that says until I think there's a break.
Yeah, 10:36. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like,
it's pretty awesome.
It kind of wraps that whole conversation.
Good. Yeah.
And it's that idea of, like, the truth is like the perseverance of it allows us the entire blessing of the gospel and the elation of what the prize is that's set before us.
Yeah.
And I want to be careful to say not set before us a small predestined group of people. You know what I mean? And not to like poke a jab with that language.
Yeah.
But just in general, I'm not saying like elite people get to do this.
Right.
It's like, no, it's the prize set before us, humanity. And the prize set before us is what our creator who created us, there's no getting around that.
Yeah.
Why would we not want to partake in what he has created for us?
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's like, it's tough where it's like, no, someone else created me.
Yeah.
And they did it for a reason. I've never created anything for no reason at all.
Yeah.
I've always created things for a purpose. Now, they didn't necessarily meet that purpose, or they were garbage and I couldn't use them for that purpose. But at the same time, like, whenever I create, I'm creating with intention.
Yeah.
And whatever I create is intended to do something. Or to have something or be a part of something or whatever that is. And the truth is we have a creator.
Yeah.
And our creator designed us for something. And I think that there's no greater elation, ecstasy, no greater feeling, no greater thought, no greater flow, no greater place. Anything that you can think of, anything that you could partake in, there is nothing greater than being perfectly in the spot where your creator designed you to be.
Yeah.
And that's the perseverance is like, I want to get there. I want to get to that spot. And I feel like the lack of doing that in other places is not just sitting still.
Yeah.
It's in some ways it's trying to find that. and maybe in a lazy way, not like aggressively going out and doing all the drugs and like do it, you know, like on the whatever.
Yeah.
It's like not in just like, maybe it's just like in the slowest way possible, just trying to like, you know, not do any push-ups. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you can't do that. Like eventually it's not good. So I don't.
And I, what I will say to you for, I guess maybe to make me feel better too. Because I feel like what can happen a lot of times is we can hear a lot of the stuff that is in store for us.
Right.
And then we ignore the fact like, well, who is it act like, what is it all for? Who is it all for?
Yeah.
And I think that's the other side of it too. Going back to this original question is like, yes, there is blessing for us if we live in Christ. But I'm not doing it for the blessing. It's like we're doing it because we love Christ and we get a blessing.
Yeah.
And I think that's the important thing, especially when we look at like, how do I become, if that's the question of why am I not excited for the return of the Lord, how do I become excited for it?
Yeah.
And it's that question of like, because you want to be reunited with him. That's the other side of the Christian life suffering that I think of is, yes, there obviously are a lot of people died in horrible ways.
Yeah.
That even to the point where the people felt bad. I think it's Tacitus, one of the Roman historians, wrote about it. He doesn't like Christians at all, but even he's like, yeah, people started to feel pity for them because like they're getting ripped apart by dogs. They're getting lit on fire in gardens to light the night as torches.
Yeah.
And it's like, these are horrible things that happen to people because they said, I love Christ.
Yeah.
But we can only do that when we love him.
Yeah.
And so it's like when I feel like for me, when I recognize, who God is and who I am in light of him, it's like, I'm more excited to see him and reunite with him. And I know that every day I'm not with him is suffering.
Yeah.
There's still joy in the earth. There's still joy here. And there's grace and there's mercy, the fact that he isn't here yet.
Yeah.
But how beautiful is it to know that I know who he is and I want to see him. I want to touch him. I want to feel him.
Yeah.
I want to be in his presence. And I think that's the beauty. And it's to what Paul says, to live is Christ. I think that's the first part. To live is not for me to get a blessing.
Right.
That can happen. That does happen.
Yeah.
But it's like, to live is Christ, but to die is gain because I no longer have to live Christ. I can be with Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's like at any point in your life, you can take all of these things. Cause I think one of the things that can happen, as we go through, or as people are maybe overly churched.
Yeah.
Or people who have stopped going to church. Cause they're like, there's just all these phrases. There's just all these things.
Yeah.
There's all this stuff. And also like misconception or, a lot of misrepresentation of what those things are.
Yeah. Old Christianese.
Yeah. And it's tough because it is that type of thing. It's like, well, you know, you kind of get to that space where you're like, yeah, but like, why would he do all that? Like, why would God make us feel this? And it's like, yeah, but have you ever loved someone? And when you're apart from them, there becomes a point where all you're trying to do is get back to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's all we're trying to do.
Yeah.
I think all that we are trying to do as humanity is get back to our Creator.
Yeah.
And I think our soul, I think our mind, I think our bodies are actively trying to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's clear opportunity to satisfy that need in a bunch of different ways that ultimately aren't satisfying. They're distractions.
Yeah.
And I think that's, to me, I feel like that's the simple of it, is it's like, we have to remember our love that we are apart from.
Yeah.
Our love that we've been distant from because we've been away on mission to make disciples.
Yeah.
and to show people this love.
Yeah.
And we long to be back with our love. Mm. And all we're trying to do is get back with our love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. As Michael Heiser said with that, it's like, well, on one side, it's like, well, why did God choose to redeem humanity?
Yeah.
And for him, he wanted a family.
Yeah.
And he chose to have that family with humanity. And for us, who we kicked ourselves out of the family base, we separated ourselves from him. Like you said, we long for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a ton of things we could talk about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think next week, next episode, we'll jump into Martyr number one.
Let's go.
In Fox's Book of Martyrs. And that's like this episode, it'll just be a front segment. The whole podcast won't be about Stephen the martyr. There might be a couple martyrs that we spend a lot of time on.
Yeah, most likely.
Just because of, you know, the effects of their lives and their life and how it rippled and affects us now.
I think there are important concepts we can glean from their life too that can lead into a topic.
Yeah.
But ultimately too, we want to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
And like, what are your questions that you're dealing with? We're going to bring up the ones that we're dealing with. Absolutely. Yeah.
And what are the questions that somebody told you don't ask that question? Or what are the questions?
That's the one I want to know.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
That's the one I want to know.
Yeah, what's that question? And then also,
what's the book you're not allowed to read? Yeah. I'll read it for you and we'll tell you.
This will be a book club.
The book club now.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I think that's the goal is let's talk about this stuff and hopefully be an aid to church leaders and those who want the questions or want to be able to ask the questions that ultimately like we need to talk about and not make them so big for people because we're just saying stay away from it.
Yeah.
There are some things that we need to stay away from.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can tell you why you should stay away from them.
Yeah.
And not just say stay away from it.
And then on the flip side, like with this one is, what's something we're staying away from that we shouldn't? Let's make it a bigger deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's kind of finding, like, where is the, where's the through line with all this? Like, how do these things all play together and line up?
Yeah. Yeah. So ultimately, yeah, I think the question that we would leave you with is, when we ask the question, are you ready for Jesus to return, or are you excited, or what if he returns right now?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? And maybe that's an important question that you should ask yourself on a daily basis.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel to say, today's my last day on earth as I know it?
Yeah.
Because the Lord is going to return today. And if you feel like you want to cringe or pull back, then
maybe it's time to open up the finances. see, like, what happened? Why am I not? Like you said, it's like, where's all of my money going? Where's all my energy going?
Yeah.
Where's my time being spent?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought you were going to make a joke, but that is a serious thing.
I kind of put it up as a joke, didn't I? Yeah.
You had a joke set up. But yeah. So this is Martyrs Row.
Episode 1.
We'll be here until he returns.
That's right. Amen. And like it might be by episode 5.
Hey, I'm here for it.
The Lord is just a stone's throw away.
The Lord Jesus will return. And
he will.
I want every part of me to be excited about that.
Yeah.
Every time I hear that. So yeah. Episode 1.
Episode 1. We don't know how to end this, do we?
Martyr's Row.
Martyr's Row. Do we snap?
Oh yeah. All right, so we'll see you on episode 2. Ready? 3, 2, 1.